Welcome back to What's New in System Center 2012 R2 Jumpstart. I'm Simon Perryman. I'm joined once again by Juan He, and we're going to be discussing application management in System Center 2012 R2. Now, as far up to this point, we've kind of laid the basic foundation. We've got our infrastructure provision, and we've started monitoring that infrastructure. But we're now going to be at the point where we start deploying applications to go and run on that infrastructure. And so by applications, I mean essentially virtual machines with applications running within those virtual machines. Now, this could be a Microsoft application such as SQL Server or Exchange, or this could be your own custom application, something that's unique to your own business. Essentially, what we're trying to do with our application monitoring is to provide deep insight, and again, not just on availability, but also about performance, to make sure the application is performing great for you from an internal perspective, as well as for our end users and our end customers. Because at the end of the day, we want to keep our customers happy so they keep coming back and using your products. Now, with that, I'm going to turn it over to Juan. Why don't you give us a brief overview of this module?
Sure. So... previously, we talked about this infrastructure monitoring, right? But at the end of the day, what matters most to the customers would be the application and the service running on top of it, and of course, data that the users are creating from day to day. So at the end of the day, monitoring your application would be the essence of your monitoring the whole data center itself. So System Center 2012 R2 provides you an in-depth view of your applications that is running on .NET as well as Java together. But before going drilling down into it, I like to kind of briefly talk about what we have been doing from Ops Manager 2012, just like I did with infrastructure monitoring, and then start off from there. Right, so from Ops Manager 2012, we have acquired this company called AviCode, and this is a company that actually had a really great review and the capabilities around .NET application performance monitoring. So we have implemented that .NET application monitoring capability out of the box within Ops Manager 2012. And we had this view of monitoring the J2E on a web scale of monitoring that as well. With Service Pack 1, we have added even further from just monitoring from the server side of the view. What we have done was we have implemented a client perspective point of view, so something called Global Service Monitor. What this is we kind of take advantage of all the data centers that we have all over the world with servicing Windows Azure. And within that Windows Azure data center, we have implemented for customers to have their agent installed having queued within those Azure data centers and tested from a client perspective whether if that application is up and running with the appropriate amount of response time. Now, we have currently like 16 points of presence, which may increase on a later point of view. But we have that as a client perspective, which will give you a good view of one of those view outside your own data center. So you wouldn't have to actually construct another client data center just for you to see whether if that is working on that point. And we have enhanced the application performance monitoring. We have the MVC and the WCF methods that have been enhanced on the Visual Studio itself. So we have incorporated that, so you will have a much more in-depth view of monitoring in an application performance perspective. And another thing is that whenever there's a problem, our Team Foundation services, Team Foundation server, which incorporates with Visual Studio, we have this integration with our application performance monitoring. What this means is that when you have an application that has been built with the Team Foundation server, you will have a direct message to the developers that, hey, this is the work items that you need to work on because you have this kind of failure within this performance on a certain function call or any of those methods that you are using within your application. So we have have this double view on the client side as well as on the server side, and having that message, having that result of that performance handed over to the developers so that they would have a direct work item that they could work on to solve a certain problem. So that was what we had with Service Pack 1. Now what we have in R2 was that we have increased the channel for the Java workload itself. So we have this Java application performance monitoring within our Ops Manager so that you can take advantage of all the applications that's running on Java as well. And we have enhanced the IntelliTrace, which is one of those integration with Visual Studio along with the TFS. So you would have that enhanced, so something that had been adopted from Service Pack 1 as well. So that's on a product scale, from a product point of view. And I'd like to kind of distinguish why we are taking this kind of approach. It's pretty important for the developers to monitor their own application, especially when it's on a production cycle. But the reality is that whenever the application are being used and developed within their data center, it's mostly been taking place on a test bed, right? They don't necessarily have them on a production. They try to have a similar environment, but the reality is not that they can't actually use their application, develop application in the real world life. Now, what we tried to do was that we tried to have that disconnected link between the developer side of the world and the operation side of the world and have that linked together would be the key point, because the common challenges that the developers would face is that whenever their application is being has been placed on a production world, they wouldn't have the visibility around where the problem really relies on. And the IT pros or the operators cannot actually say, hey, your application is not running well, it's slow, because you should go figure out yourself. And then developers would say, hey, there's nothing wrong with the application, I don't know what to do, you say that it's slow, I have actually seen the code itself, there's nothing wrong with that. So it kind of have a very difficult cycle on actually maintaining and enhancing and really monitoring your developed application. So we try to link that between the developers and operations side of the world. So for example, let's say, hey, my application is running slowly. This would be the example for the end user who should have the right amount of quality of speed or whatever. But then the networking guy says, hey, we're pretty good. There's nothing wrong with the network. And the code, I don't see any errors with the code, so that's all good. And the server health state is running without any problem as well. But at the end of the day, the application is running slow. So I don't know what's going on. So these are kind of the holistic view of how we should figure out, because this is the reality from the developer and the operation side of the world, right? So we do have this monitoring capability from the client side as well as on the server side, and we kind of want to have that both world being monitored in a single operation console. So I will be talking about that after some of the demos that I make. But that is our key goal of monitoring this application. But what is the best practices on maintaining and distributing your application? So that's one of the things that we kind of take challenge with, because as you have heard from our previous sessions, our infrastructure is so complex, and there's a lot of ways that you can actually use your resources. For example, making it into a private cloud. On top, you can deploy in a private cloud. You can deploy it on certain hypervisors, not specifically on a cloud, but on a virtualized world. You can actually distribute that into, you want to distribute that into the public cloud. So how do you do that? So the best practices that we came across with System Center, especially with 2012 and beyond that, is the service template. This is going beyond from the virtual machine template, right? So whatever the service template that you want to provide to your end user and the app owner, for example, the developers who want to have their web server developed, and you would obviously need a database and a business tier and the web tier, and you the it will be super easy for the IT pros, the IT admins, data center admins, to provide you that kind of a template for them to go ahead and develop on a testbed or on a semi-production stage. So we do have that service template that can be deployed to the private cloud, including the public cloud and Windows Azure. So that's one of those demos that I like to show you here. And I'd like to switch back to our demo environment.
Now, while you're switching, you know, sure. I'm going to touch on DevOps a little more. You know, we kind of, you know, people ask, what are the benefits of DevOps, right? This closer integration between our developers and our infrastructure specialists. And you kind of touched on one of the core ones here, the mean time to resolution. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of the other kind of side effects of that are you're going to have happier employees, right? Because mm-hmm. your developers get to focus on writing code.
Right.
Your infrastructure guys get to focus on managing the infrastructure, and they're not kind of cross-pollinating their job roles. And so we've actually got some reports from real-world customers. In fact, a very large enterprise services company, I'll just say that, where basically they had a development center in the States, they had a development center in India, and the problem was that it just took so long to share the code between these two different sites that you had our developers actually managing the VMs. And then you had infrastructure guys trying to tweak code just so they didn't have to send this data back and forth.
Exactly.
But as we kind of move towards this model where we more rapidly sped the replication of VMs, this customer actually used the Hyper-V replica technology. Ultimately, it reduced their attrition rate by 70%.
Wow.
Because they had a lot of people that were saying, hey, I came here to write my code. Mm-hmm. You're making me deploy VMs. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a great way just to keep your entire enterprise happy, keep people focused, and keep people specialized on what they were signed up to do and what their primary skill set is as well.
Exactly. Right. So I do have another example as well. This was back when I was in the field. A lot of online gaming industry, they actually want to have a small set of functionality to test their part of the game. And the core set of that is that they have this golden service template. They want to have that as a service template, kind of add on and develop on that point. And it took so much time for them to actually develop that test bed itself every single time. They need to have an addition of services that they want to test upon. And that was their biggest challenge, and that was their initial point why they were looking into their private cloud scenario. And service template was such a big automated way for them that the IT pros would just need to incorporate all the newest version of Golden Services template, and that which it can automatically update as well with Virtual Machine Manager.
Nice.
And they would just need to have their latest service template so that they could actually develop, not having back and forth with all that updated versions, right? So they could actually concentrate on whatever that they had to develop. And as you have mentioned, having like back and forth with going into the production and having this is the errors that we get, and having that automated with Ops Manager and incorporated with VMM, obviously, having like send it to an exact work item and delegate it to those people who actually can fix it without any like ping and pongs and going back and forth, that would reduce a lot of time for them to actually look into their code and have them redesigned to a better state.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, so I kind of wanted to show you the virtual machine service template here. I made a WordPress service. I'll kind of quickly show you before I distribute this. Open up Designer. And then this is one of the applications that you can take advantage from as a standardized service here. And if you look here, one of the interesting thing here, I'm talking a lot about Linux today, but this is one of the examples. We can actually incorporate all the virtual machine templates that we already have. So here I do have a Linux as the web tier, and I have the SQL database as the database tier. So I can actually have these two as a single service template and have them deployed as an application so that Ops Manager would pick that up automatically. As I have told you before, it automatically gathers all the information from Virtual Machine Manager, so it will see the health state of this single template. Right, so now I think I am saving it, which I shouldn't be. So here I would just close this down and open up Designer. Okay, So, well, you would get an idea of this Red Hat here. I have it as a web tier and database tier. So I'd like to show you, I have pre-deployed this services and show you how that can be deployed with our app controller here. So we have the app controller. We can integrate this with our Windows Azure as well as service provider. Yep.
Now, app controller might be new for some of our customers here. Okay. Can we just spend a minute kind of giving what exactly is app controller, who uses it, and why?
Right. Absolutely. So app controller is a Silverlight-based product, a solution that incorporates with your virtual machine manager and Windows Azure and so forth. So app controller would be the single point of your website for consuming those resources that had been made with virtual machine manager. So an end user would come to the app controller. Out of the box, it has a nice view of deploying your virtual machine as a template or as a service to those resources that has been allocated to you. So a single user would not have all the resources that they want to, that they can use. They would have a certain role. For example, which I have had an example before, like all the web developers. Right. Within the developer, you would have a web developer role who would only get access to the service template that is with a web tier and so forth. So he would only have that service template being deployed into their allocated resources.
Yeah. Another way that I like to put it is it's almost a lightweight version of Virtual Machine Manager. Mm-hmm. Because for our developers, we don't want to, you know, overwhelm them with the complexity of having to think about Fabric, VMs mm-hmm. and services, mm-hmm. libraries, things mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. So essentially, we kind of give you a web-based interface. You have a limited scope of options, as you mentioned, and then you basically are able to just follow a few clicks mm-hmm. and deploy these key infrastructure services.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So a great way to really get your developers engaged and provide a self-service portal for them, basically,
absolutely.
For the infrastructure requests.
Right. So App Controller has whatsoever no idea. Well, it does have an idea, but it doesn't have the controllability of their infrastructure. So Virtual Machine Manager would be the core piece of having all the resources that you have, like storage, network, and compute powers, including not just the Hyper-V, but the SEM server and the Citrix and the ESX server that I have shown you earlier. And an app controller can take advantage of that resources, not knowing of where to deploy. It'll be just automated with the pre-configured.
No, a good question here. Does App Controller have a dependency on Virtual Machine Manager?
So that could be a yes. So it has to be the equivalent level of System Center. I believe that it should be tested on the same level like System Center Virtual Machine Manager R2. It's fully tested with App Controller R2. It's one of the components. So you should be able to have that in the same level
yeah,
with the Virtual Machine Manager.
And essentially, with Virtual Machine Manager, you do need to have VMM there to kind of provide the underlying, you know, components around the security, mm-hmm. around the services, around the VM. So really, you can kind of think of App Controller as a layer on top of Virtual Machine Manager with a simpler interface. So to answer that question, yes, you do need VMM in the infrastructure to be able to use App Controller with it.
Right, exactly. Right, so I'll just go back to the demo here, just to show you how you deploy the services. Here, I click on the services. I did deploy the WordPress that I have created, but let's just show you how to do that here. I can select a cloud. The interesting thing here is not just on the private cloud, but you can actually have access to the service provider. If you have integrated your service provider cloud into our VMM, it's automatically going to pick up if you have this access access role authority within that user that you have logged in. And you can actually have Windows Azure resources implemented here as well. Here I'm just going to click on Contoso Hosted, and then you would have to select the service template that I have pre-created just earlier. And it's going to read from the VMM library, and it's going to show you the content that you have created on your Virtual Machine Manager. It's going to pop out the virtual machine as well as the service template, hopefully, and you will be able to deploy that. Right. Okay, so here you go. So it's going to show you a template that you have the authority. So what this means is that, as I've told you earlier, if you are a developer and if you are just a web developer, you want to give them access to just the certain web developer related templates to your to this end user. So I'm just going to click the service template here and click OK. It's going to automate the diagram here, but I would need the service name. So I'm just going to have a WordPress 01 and click OK. And if you want to have a different instances for each of the machines, you can actually do that as well. Here, as I have made before, one of them is the Red Hat, and one of them would be the Windows Server. Then I click Deploy. So if I just do that, the end user would not know which host machine it's going to use for that service deployment. Now, this is fully what it's meant to be. The app controller, the user, the end user shouldn't really care about the resources that they use. All they need is the compute power, and they just need that services up and running at an instance. So that's what it is capable of doing. So here I've just shown you that app controller are capable of doing that. And how do you monitor that? How would it be visible here? If you look at the ops manager, I'm going back to one of those things that I've shown in the infrastructure monitoring, it would automatically pick up that services that the VMM has deployed. So you wouldn't necessarily have to integrate or author another distributed application within this pane. But I just created one. And if I look at the diagram view, let's look at the dinner now. It would have a view of the different layers, like business tier, which would have the application and the client, and the database tier, which would be the database that the service is using, and other components that it uses, which is something like the web. The IIS web server and so forth. So this is going to be auto-populated if that has been deployed as a type of a service. And of course, if you want to have multiple services into a single application, distributed application allows you to integrate those two services and show you whether if the health is whether if that service is healthy or not as an application point of view. Right. I'm going to switch back to my presentation. Yes, and now I'm going to talk about a little bit more on the performance scale. Now you have seen how you can standardize your application into a service template that consists of not just Windows but also Linux. So which means that you can have your line of business application really enhanced with the service template. You can actually create a lot of type of service template with all the virtual machine templates that you can utilize from. Now let's look at the application insight and diagnostics here. When we talk about application performance, it can really mean in a lot of point of view. It can be viewed as in a server side, which is our traditional application performance monitoring. We see all the different function levels. We kind of run that as a test in the application performance monitoring solutions, and we kind of get the result out of it and see, hey, this is running slow, this part is running slow, and so forth. Now, it's really important to kind of see that in a holistic view, as I have mentioned before. In a lot of cases, this application has been not just designed in a single tier, but as a lot of services are integrated with a lot of different services as well. So for example, you may have a website that has a web part that actually talks to another web server within that single services, and that web services would talk to another database, so you would at the end of the day have multiple distributed application, and they would all have dependencies with each other, and that could be actually been drawn as as a distributed application. But the good thing about this is that you will have automated way of actually incorporating that diagram view if you have Ops Manager and talking to that different servers. So you will be able to do that. And if you look a lot more into the server side of the world, you would be able to get the results of a function call level of the result time of a certain path within that application. So for example, if you look at here, which I will be showing you closely in the demo, we have this graph tool, whether this specific call would have a long time for a response, so the developer should be able to directly go into this aspect and kind of see whether if the problem resides on that function call or not. It can actually go drill down into that, and you would be able to see the root cause of it. And then this is the part where we integrate with the Team Foundation server and gives the developer a work item to really specifically go to this specific code level and kind of see whether that function call is behaving in the right behavior or not. So this remediation time, which is one of the MTTR, mean time to resolve resolution, would be dramatically decreased if you have this kind of a set of handing it back to the developer. So one of the things that we kind of allows you to kind of view is the 360 view. What this means is that we also show you the server side of the performance, but also on the client side. But not just on the client side, we have this internal synthetic transaction, which we had before, but we have enhanced. Something you might remember are the web browser recording functionality, which we have a synthetic transaction recorded so that the user can actually monitor the response time and so forth. We have actually enhanced that as well. And we, of course, we do have the Java side of the world that we do monitor that, so that could be one of those things. So I wanted to switch back to my demo and kind of show you about how we leverage the global service monitor on Windows Azure Data Center and see how that results to monitor from your applications outside of your data center.
Now, as you switch over, I'll talk about one example where I've actually been able to use Global Service Monitor in the real world. So as you're going to see shortly, Global Service Monitor will allow us to essentially test our websites in our data center using custom tests from anywhere in the world. Now, as a trainer, I regularly go to different countries, and I want to connect back to my lab and see how well is my lab performing, how many network hops is it, how long will it take for me to send a request, receive a response, because at the end of the day, I want people that are using my labs to have a good customer experience. And if let's say you're selling coffee online, you want your customers from around the world to also have a similar good experience, no matter where they're located. And oftentimes, if you're a developer, let's say based in Moscow, you don't have the luxury of having these testers spread out around the world and making sure that your environment functions well. So before I go travel to a new country, I'll basically set up a website, and I will go and run web tests from the point of presence that's closest to that. And it will tell me how performant is this. Are my customers going to get a good user experience or not? With that knowledge, I can then go ahead and decide, yes, let me run my event in Redmond, hosted in Redmond, and have people connect from around the world back to my data center. Or do I need to go and find a local host, someone in a different country? So this gives me some insight, some capability to test, even though I don't have these testers spread around the world.
Right, exactly. So here I'm going to set up a web availability test that utilizes Windows Azure Data Center that's spread across the world, as just Simon explained. So here I have a web application availability monitoring, and then I click test, and then I click next here, and I would just punch in contoso.com, for example, and then I click next. And here you will see the external location. Now this is the interesting part where you can leverage these different located agent and have them tested within your tested your application from. I'm going to add them and I'll hit OK. And you can also add your internal agent as well. So if you want to test it from a certain point of view within your data center, you can actually have them test your application out. So if I click Next, and if I click on Configuration, you would see that I would test this in 10 minutes time frame and so forth. But you can also have a result on, I want to have this response time less than 1 second. And if it goes over 1 second, I would throw an alert and so forth. And you can also have HTTP status record and so forth. So these configuration are pre-default. It has set up in a most general way, but you can go ahead and reconfigure that. But as a result, you can see that my configuration, I think it probably has been too harsh, I don't know, but only three located agents are telling me that it had come in response at the right time.
Looks like your developers have a late night ahead of them.
Yes, yes, I guess so. So they should have to really work on the server side of the world, why it's behaving slow. But this is essentially how the people around the world would experience your application. So it gives you the transaction response time. It gives you a much more in-depth view of those results if you have punched in all the HTTP record and so forth, and all that information is put back. Now, notice that this is absolutely free for those customers who are using Ops Manager, so you wouldn't necessarily have to deploy any of the servers outside of your data center just to have this kind of a result, right? And I also did wanted to touch base on the .NET application as well as the Java server side of how integrated we are on testing out the performance. So this is going to be really quick. I'm just going to show you here on the demo side here. So I have a DinnerNow application been deployed, this is the application that you would see here, and these are the performance alerts that you would get in a performance latency. And if you see here, I would just click on one. Just click on one and see that one of the SQL transaction I have made had been such a big latency. It has taken about 1.6 seconds. 1,600 milliseconds. As a result, this must have had a reason of being slow. So you can actually toss this to the developers and get your result from that. Now, because of the time limit, I couldn't show the Java side of the world, but we are in an equivalent par of getting all these diagnostic and advising information from the Java world as well. So if you have any application that you have deployed Java on top of Tomcat, we do have that supportability equivalent level as .NET application as well.
Right. Very nice. Now, just to kind of wrap things up here, as we kind of tie together this developer integration, what would the next steps be? We get this alert that pops up. We say, here's the stack trace. Here's the stuff that, as an IT pro, I don't even want to look at. What's the easiest way to get this to our developers?
Right. So the easiest way is to delegate, right? So whatever the
we do a good job of that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we do a good job of that. So if you are, if you have this error messages, like IT pros, they don't need to understand all the SQL transaction of the code that they have seen. But it's good for them to actually throw that to the developers. And the developers would appreciate that, right? They would actually spend tons of times to actually see and get to the point where they have a delayed response on that actual code. So as moving forward, like delegating and throwing good the essence information to the developers would be the core design of our integrated story.
So what integration points do we have with our developer tools here?
So we have Visual Studio Team Foundation Services, and that could actually integrate to the work item. So once you delegate that, all they need to do as a developer, you can open up your Visual Studio Team Foundation server, and you would actually have a work item being delegated to you if you are the right person, hopefully and obviously, and he would actually open up that work item, and he would actually see all the debugged information on a production side of the world. Right, so he would actually see all the response time and all the result of the certain code level. And so it would be much more easier for that developer to actually see the code and point out for resolution.
That's great. And I think, you know, another advantage here as well is it's easier for everyone, right? As far as, you know, our mean time to resolution, making this get fixed quicker, if we're immediately able to assign this to the developer and it captures all of that information anyway, that's saving me time as the IT pro.
Exactly.
I'm not running stack traces. I'm not running network, debugs. I just have this information available. I click assign to engineering and ops manager. It disappears.
Exactly.
Not my problem anymore.
Exactly.
So again, you know, this is this private cloud concept of us trying to free up time in the infrastructure, save our IT pros time so they could be more productive as well.
Right, exactly. Right.
Great. So as we wrap this up, what are the final summary here, final words for application management?
Right. So for application management, we have from infrastructure provisioning, the reason why we have this infrastructure dedicated with Virtual Machine Manager is to have the most flexible and the utilized resources that you want to put out and have that the application be used for that flexible resources. And so at the end of the day, monitoring the application would be a super important part of the deal. And having said that, we have this standardized service template that the people can really utilize and take advantage of that service template, especially on a developer side of the world. And having the developer using that service template in instant without ID pros always having to create another resources for them, they can develop that and have that into the production stage. And whenever there's an error, they can actually have the ID pros delegate to them, and they would have the essence information for them to go ahead and debug in a really short matter of time.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for giving us this overview of application
management.
So we hope by now where we are on this journey to private cloud is we've got our foundation set with our infrastructure deployed, our VMs deployed, and then having both our infrastructure and our VMs monitoring. Now, the next step is to go and add automation and self-service into our environment so that we could provide a way for our end users to make those infrastructure requests as seamlessly as possible, and wherever possible, provide automation. So for these repetitive tasks, these very traditional IT operations. And so I'm going to say goodbye to Juan. We're going to take a 10-minute break, and when we return, we will be covering automation and self-service with System Center 2012 R2. Thank you.
Thank you.